Beautiful. Sounds like a choir with a full orchestra, doesn't it? Well, it's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Before the next song, we would like to tell you this program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ. 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. The churches of Christ are those local, autonomous, self-governing congregations you read about in Romans 16:16. We are neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old vanilla Bible-believing Christians. We're reaching the unchurched for Christ worldwide by radio at the same time and station every Sunday. So why don't you come into fellowship with us? You can simply assemble in the freedom of your own homes if you live in a country that's not free or there is no local Church of Christ near you. Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. You don't need the approval from anybody to worship God through Jesus Christ. Five things compose worship. You can sing, study the Bible, learn to preach, take the Lord's Supper, pray, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor of your own local community anywhere in the world. Why don't you call us at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123. Visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Spell it out, dash is a key, like a hyphenated word. Again, that is www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. For free downloads of great a cappella singing, hundreds of sermons, advanced Bible studies, and 1,000 links, please tell a friend about our website in broadcast time. Now we offer you this a cappella singing, which is four-part harmony without musical instruments, so that you can hear what we believe singing in the Spirit in heaven is surely like. Why don't you visit the Church of Christ nearest your home and get some singing in your life? Or call us at 214-821-2123, and you can also email us by visiting our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
Before our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
To welcome our worldwide radio audience to the regular worship of the Main Street Church of Christ. Those of you that are in North Texas, out of the sound of my voice, if you'll get in your car and come right now to 4300 Main Street, take the peak exit off of I-30, just past Fair Park, go about three blocks north on Peak, come to our barbecue picnic, where the East Ridge Church of Christ is helping us with this barbecue picnic this Sunday, right now today. Get in your car and come. We'd love to have you to our barbecue picnic. We're happy to announce that we're entering into a contract with Pan American Broadcasting. It will go out Japan and China Sunday at 4 p.m. It'll be heard in Tokyo on 58.50 kilohertz to China. It will be at 4 p.m. in Beijing time, 58.50 kilohertz to Europe, Russia, the Middle East, and all of Africa. It'll be heard at 3 p.m. in Paris and 5 p.m. in Moscow on frequency 11.580 kilohertz to North, Central, and South America, Mexico, Canada, all of the North and South America at 5 p.m. Eastern time, which is 4 p.m. Central time on Sunday at 59.50 kilohertz. The broadcast to China is at 4 o'clock, and we get a 9 o'clock broadcast free to China. So we're already broadcasting to the whole wide world twice. Madagascar will make three times. This new contract to WRMI will make four times that this church is broadcasting to the entire world, China five times. Isn't that amazing for a church, a little old volunteer inner city church that feeds the homeless and the poor, and it's all our listeners and our brethren and our friends that's made it all possible. And so we ask, if you're out there in the radio audience and any of you got an oil well, this entire world broadcast is costing us $175 a week, covers the entire earth and China and the Pacific twice. And so we have two people that have committed to take care of two of the weeks of the month. We had another person this morning that committed to half to $100 to take care of one more week. So we're at 2.5 weeks paid for. We just need to have somebody help us with another $175 a month and somebody else with $75 a month, and you'll have all your investment in soul. I was at a wedding Friday of a man who takes me to Sam's once every 2 or 3 months, or sometimes once a month, or sometimes once every 2 months. He takes me to Sam's and buys $1,000 worth of bowls and spoons and cups and plates and stuff and food, chili and stuff like that that goes on our chili dog. And he announced to the whole group that was there, they was all millionaires, he said, "This is where I give my money because I know that every penny goes to the poor. And not 1 cent goes to a new Cadillac because the preacher drives a 1995 Buick." And I thank Brethren and Kaufman for that. My air conditioner's really cold. So let's get started. I want to remember Adam's mother. Please, y'all remember Adam and his mother. We're at Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. "Judge not that you be not judged." One of the biggest problems that the religious world has today. Judge means to condemn with harsh judgment, with bitter and fault-finding spirit. Does not mean to form an opinion. We should not count the wrong motives or put the worst construction on the words and actions of others. David Lipscomb once said that being a Christian, Christianity is a religion of love, and being a Christian requires that we think the best of our brethren. So no matter what you do, I'm going to be trying to think the best of you. If I see you doing something that might be marginal, I'm going to think, well, maybe he's got a reason for doing that I don't know anything about. Maybe there's something going on here I don't know anything about. I'm going to try my very best to give you the benefit of the doubt. "Judge not that you be not judged." The word judge means more than one sense. The plain meaning is God does not prohibit civil judgments of courts against evildoers. If you're sitting in a murder trial, you're supposed to judge that guy whether he murdered the person or not. For this is approved throughout the whole Bible. He does not prohibit the judgment of the church through its officers, such as elders, deacons, preachers, those who are set apart to do such, upon those who walk disorderly, because both Jesus and the apostles enjoined us to do this. He does not forbid private judgments that we are compelled to form about wrongdoers, for he himself tells us that we're to judge men by their fruits. We'll get to that in a minute. What he does prohibit here is rash and unlovable judgment, fault-finding spirit, a disposition to condemn without examining the charges. In John chapter 7, verse 24, Jesus says, "Judge not according to the appearance, but judge ye righteous judgment." In Romans chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art to judgest. For wherein thou judge another, thou condemnest thy own self. For thou that judgest doeth the same thing. It's amazing. The people that I've known, the harshest judgmental people that I have known, have been great sinners and had secret sins their own selves. 35, 40 years ago, I used to smoke cigarettes. I was in prison 45 years ago. And there was a guy in there, and he had that Pentecostal holiness, and he was so holy that he squeaked, man. And I'm telling you, he'd tell you, oh, you going to hell for them cigarettes, you going to hell for them cigarettes. He was all the time judging everybody about them cigarettes. Now, I know as time has progressed, it's become even worse. Nobody likes cigarettes. I don't even like them. But at that time, 45 years ago, it wasn't that big a deal. Half people in church smoked, or 25% or something. A lot of people smoked that were Christian. And it was a matter of hurting your own body. It wasn't a matter of doing nothing to anybody else. So I caught him one day. He had a newspaper, and he's going in the bathroom. And I just knew, and I reached out, and I grabbed that newspaper out of his hand. And he's trying to get it back, man. And I unrolled that newspaper, and he got a Playboy magazine right in the middle of that newspaper. And I said, I see that you've gone back to smoking your own self, hadn't you? And so it's that kind of judgment that we're talking about. If you ain't squeaky clean, don't be getting on people about misdemeanors. Let's major in the major and minor in the minors here. And so Paul says, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for when thou judge another for smoking, thou condemnest thy own self, for thou doest the same thing or something even worse. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth. First great principle of the judgment, it's according to truth. Kelly, you can't lie, you can't con, you can't manipulate, you can't twist the facts, you can't sneak around and do nothing silly or nothing funny. God is going to judge me according to truth, and he'll show it to me. Uh-oh, I don't want the truth to come out about me. I mean, I've been forgiven for my past, and I don't even want y'all. I don't want my best friend. I especially don't want my wife to know all the truth. I don't want nobody to know all the truth, but God knows it all. The first great principle of God is that the judgment is according to truth. Uh-oh, we better look for a get-out-of-jail-free card. We need some help here. Against them that commit such things. Or thinkest thou this, O man, that judges them that do such things and doeth the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God. The second great principle of the judgment is that malefactors think that they're going to get away with it. They can't feature themselves burning forever, but they can feature old Kelly burning forever because he smoked a cool cigarette 45 years ago. They can't feature their own self burning forever. And it's just normal human. I can't feature me going out here on the parking lot and a car running right up over me and just squashing me flat. I can't feature that. But often I feature a little child getting loose from its mama and going running out there and a car running over. I'm worried about that happening to somebody else, but I can't feature that happening to me. Let me tell you something. Every one of us is going to stand before God naked, naked man, and wait for him to put a robe on us. God is going to judge us according to truth, and none of us are going to escape the judgment of God. Now, you either take the carrot or the stick. Everybody knows what that means? When you trained a horse to pull a buggy, you'd get a thing like a cane pole, and you put a string on the end of it, and you put a carrot out in front of it, and you'd dangle it in front of that horse. And that horse would chase that carrot down the road. You'd hold it right in front of him while you're riding in the buggy. Then you got a stick in the other hand. And anytime that horse slowed down, you hit him in the back of the head, that stick. And so it was called a carrot and a stick approach to training a horse to trot with a buggy. And so you hung that carrot out in front of him, and then he'd get after that carrot, man. And anytime he stopped walking after that carrot, you hit him in the head of the stick, he'd get going again after that carrot. Well, it's the same way with God. You got the carrot or the stick with God, one of the two. Heaven or hell, it's your choice. I mean, it's not a big deal here.
or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering, God says that if you don't take his deal, this get out of jail free card he's got for you, then you despise him. You despise the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God, God's good to you, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. That's what the whole idea is that God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. The goodness of God is supposed to lead you to repentance. And so if you don't accept that, you don't accept repentance, then you're despising the richness of his goodness and his long-suffering and his mercy, and you're treating God like he's a punk and he's going to squash you like a bug. He's going to get you. But after thy hardness and impotent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God. It's like people who won't repent, it's like you got a piggy bank. And every time you commit a sin, you put another penny in there. You put another penny in there, and you put another, you're treasuring up the payback. God is going to give everybody what they got coming, except Christian. That's the only escape. No other escape clause. He's going to give everybody what they got coming. Their piggy bank's going to be busted open someday, and he's going to say, this penny here, he's going to pay you in your own coin. He's going to give you exactly what you gave to others. Treasures up wrath against the day of wrath and the revelation. There'll be a revelation of Jesus Christ at the end of time of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Oh, God, no, don't give me what I got coming. For God's sakes, no. I want rewarded for my deeds for the last 22 years. I don't want to be punished for my deeds prior to that. Let's all get on that train. That's a better train there. To them by patient continuance that's become Christians and doing well, seek for glory and honor and immortality and eternal life. Oh, that's the one I want, Lord. Glory and honor and immortality. Live forever, everlasting life and eternal life, never-ending life. But to them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul that doeth evil, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Let me tell you something. That word in Luke 16, where it talks about one guy dies and goes to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man dies and goes to torments, that Greek word is bizano, and it means to torment, to terrorize. God is going, he is tormenting Hitler right now. He is terrorizing Hitler right now. Hitler is dying 6 million deaths a day. Hitler is paying for everything he's ever done every day. He is being tormented day and night. There's no sleep there. There's no rest there. He's being tormented day and night. Stalin, he killed 20 million people in the Ukraine. He is being tormented day and night there. Mohammed is being tormented day and night there. He knows what it's like to be molested now. Mohammed does. You're going to get what you got coming. To every man that work, but glory, honor, and peace, to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. I believe that that's quoted 8 times in the New Testament, if I'm not mistaken. 8 times the New Testament says that God don't love Kelly any more than he loves you. God has no respect of persons. The least homeless in the building that's a Christian or not a Christian, God loves you just as much as he loves me. And he's not willing that any should perish. What wonderful news, Brother Miller. Isn't that wonderful news? He loves you just as much as he loves me. It don't matter what you've done. He loves us the same. God is not a respecter of persons. He loves every one of you out there in radio land just as much as he loves me. He's not willing that any should perish. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many have sinned without the law, the Gentiles, in other words, that didn't know the Old Testament, shall also perish without the law. And many have sinned with the law, shall be judged by the laws, the Jews, in other words. For not the hearers of the law are just before God. You hearing this? It ain't saving you just because you're at church listening to the sermon. You got to do something. What does it say? But the doers of the law shall be justified. So you got to come to God the acceptable way. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to come to our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com for free downloadable a cappella singing. And there's 1,000 sermons on there, and there's 1,000 written lessons and all kinds of things on there. So those of you that are in North Texas, under the sound of my voice, if you'll get in your car and come right now to 4300 Main Street, take the peak exit off of I-30, just past Fair Park, go about 3 blocks north on Peak, come to our barbecue picnic where the East Ridge Church of Christ is helping us with this barbecue picnic this Sunday, right now today. Get in your car and come. We'd love to have you to our barbecue picnic. Let's go down to Romans 4:13. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Let not him that eateth not judge him that eateth, for God has received him. It's talking about the dietary laws. Gentiles were not given the Old Testament laws. The Jews were. It's okay for you guys to eat swine. It's okay to eat pigs. It's okay to eat ham. It's all right. Bacon's just cool if you want it. Don't have to. Might give you heartburn. Might give you clogged arteries if you eat too much fat. But there's no such thing for Gentiles for clean food and unclean food. So it's telling Jewish Christians, don't judge them Gentile Christians that eat pork and other things, shrimp, things like that. Verse 4. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? For to his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he should be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. Romans 14:10. And why doest thou judge thy brother, or why doest thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 13. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall before his brother. So, if I knew somebody was totally, absolutely opposed to eating swine, and they're a Christian, I'm not going to have him over and serve ham. You know, I'll have something different, liver and onions or something. See if I can gross him out that way. But I'm not going to give him something. That's cow meat. So, you know, I'm going to give him something that chicken or something. I'll give him something that don't offend him. I'm not going to try to purposely offend a Christian brother is what this is saying. James 4:11, speak not evil of another brethren, for he that speaketh evil of his brother judges his brother, speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judges another? So throughout the New Testament, we're told not to judge. Then it's told, how are we going to be judged? Matthew 7:2. For what judgment you judge, you shall also be judged. And what measure you met, it shall be measured to you again. Our own standard of judging others will be applied to us. God so arranged that he'll pay back each man in his own coin by those who make unreasonable or harsh judgments. With what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, not by men, but by God. God takes note of the harsh, unkind, censorious spirit and deals with that man according to his spirit. There is declared here a great principle that runs throughout the moral government of God. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. When I first came to church here, I was telling you earlier about some of the worst people I've ever known had judgmental spirit. There's a guy that sat on the second row here, and he was a bully, and he had just about taken over this church. And I came forward and I sat on the back row back there. I came to church on Sunday night. I walked the aisle and repented, and all I wanted to do was go to heaven. I'd lost $1 million environmental engineering company. I was running $1 million a year in sales in my environmental engineering company. My wife had been 9 times in a diabetic coma. I had a heart attack trying to dig up underground storage tanks and take care of her too. And so I was at the end of my rope, and I showed up right back there where Maggie Pope's sitting right now. And I walk the aisle, and that's my seat, Maggie. Keep it warm for me, Doug. And I walked the aisle, and I repented, and God knows I just wanted to go to heaven. Next Sunday morning, I see a guy named Kyle. He's got a hold of Brother Scoggins by his shirt and his collar. And I go hog in between them, and I said, hold it here, brother. I said, let me tell you something. You better put the love of Christ on your face when you talk to these old people around me. Now, I'd known Brother Scoggins all my life, his son sitting here. I'd known him all my life. I've known Kenneth all my life. He played tackle and I played guard or vice versa. I can't remember. It's old time. But Brother Scoggins, his daddy was the biggest angel I ever knew. His daddy was just the most honest, honorable, loving. Everybody loved Brother Scoggins. And this guy's got his hands on Brother Scoggins. And I get between them and I said, you better take your hands off these old people. You better not ever let me see you do that again. I'm not kidding you, man. I'll do something to you. That night, I came into church and I walked into the lobby and he's got Brother Scoggins again and he's jerking him back and forth like that. And I got him by his ear. I twisted his ear just backwards and got him on his tiptoe and got him and walked him outside of Peak Street and knocked him down right there at Peak Street. And he laid on the ground, and I kicked him. And I said, I know you think I'm kicking you, Kyle, but it's not true. I'm just helping you get back up. I said, I'm going to keep helping you. I said, I'm going to keep helping you until you get back up and fight, because anybody that wants to fight an 80-year-old man really wants to fight, I'm going to help you get it out of your system. And I whipped him all down the side of the building there and locked him down the last time out into Eastside Street. And I told him, I said, I guarantee you I'm going to wear you out if you ever put a hand on an old person around me again. So the next Sunday, I walked the aisle, and I filled out a card, and I said, I'm sorry. Jesus wouldn't have handled it that way, and I didn't handle that right. But I'm going to promise you one thing. If I ever see anybody put their hand on an 80-year-old man, I'll be walking this aisle again. Or I'm going to do exactly the same thing as I done last time. Now, this guy was a molester. He molested. It didn't matter to him whether he molested men, women, boys, or girls. He hit on an old man in a wheelchair. He was moonbathing naked in the backyard of a house over here, got arrested. We just fellowshipped him. He was just the dirtiest dog that ever was, and he's the most judgmental person I ever seen, the biggest legalist. He thought he was going to heaven. Some people are delusional. You understand? Now, I hadn't had a fight since then. That was 22 years ago. And I hope I don't have no more. But I'm telling you now, don't let me see you put your hand on no women, no kids, no old men around me, because I'll do something to you. And if I can't, there's a bunch of us around here who can. And it'll be hey, Roo, because we'll all come running over that deal. That's what they used to holler in the circus when somebody acted up. Matthew 7, verse 3. And why beholdest thou the mote that's in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thy own eye? Behold means to stare at and observe. It may be a smile, and it takes very hard staring to see it. Beam is a very great fault, and Jesus shows how morally grotesque the conduct of fault finders is when he himself is characterized by some greater fault. Such fault finders always have the greatest of all faults by lacking love and sympathy for others. It's common for us to minimize our own faults and magnify the faults of others. Why beholdest thou the mote that's in thy brother's eye? The Lord uses this figure of speech to show the absurdity of judging severely the faults of others while we have greater faults of our own. The term translated here, mote, means little splinter, and the beam means something very large, 7-4. Why wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold the beams in thy own eye, thou hypocrite? First cast out the beam that's in thy own eye, then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote that's in thy brother's eye, thou hypocrite. The man who finds fault with another for sin while he is more guilty is a hypocrite. A great many are very zealous to convert the world who are themselves unconverted. There's a lot of people like that. And to tell you, since we're coming clean this morning, I'm going to finish the story. I had some trouble with some people around here about then who were older people that were honest people who were just confused, and they thought that a couple of guys didn't know that he was bullying people. So I got mad and I fell off the wagon and I went and had some drinks. This is 22 years ago now. And I was driving home that night, and there was Kyle Ferguson on a bicycle on Tremont Street at 1 o'clock in the morning, pedaling down the street, in the middle of the street on Tremont Street, and the devil whispering in my ear, "You can run right over him and nobody will ever know. Nobody will ever know." And I pulled over and I laughed and I waved at God. And I said, "God, forgive me. I'm not going to ever drink again. Look how the devil has offered me that pump." Now, if I'd have run over him, I'd have spent the rest of my life in the penitentiary, and I'd have never fed the poor. I wouldn't be here preaching the gospel to all the world. The devil will give you your enemies on a silver platter to get you to murder. The devil will give you the most beautiful woman in the world if that's all it takes to get your soul. The devil will give you money, he'll give you riches, he'll give you anything. He'll make you judgmental, he'll do all kinds of things to get your soul. The devil wants your soul. How many of y'all been sober 22 years? Got one hand up. Two, including mine. Good. We got some honest people here. God can deal with you if you're honest. God can't deal with you if you're dishonest. Matthew 7:6, "Give not that which is holy to dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." The meats offered at the altar were holy and were reserved for priests. We are priests before God. Every Christian is a king and a priest and regarded as particularly sacred. The dog was regarded as an unclean animal by Jewish law. They probably represented snarling, scoffing, scoffers, and opposers that oppose us in the church. Divisive persons, people that cause trouble, like that woman hollering and screaming in the lobby back there a few weeks ago. If she'd have been right, she'd have conducted herself like a lady. You can tell by the way people act whether they're right or wrong. This characteristics of dogs is brutality. They try to instill holy things into such a lowly, unclean, sordid, brutal creature is useless. That guy, the only way you could deal with him was in a language that he understood, which was a left hook and a right cross. That's the only thing he understood. "Neither cast pearls before swine." Swine were also unclean. The swine would not appreciate the pearls and were just as ferocious as ever. So too are men so dull and imbued with senselessness as to reject the pearls of truth. It's our duty to help try to save others, but we have to use common sense. Had a guy here last week that had been a bully on the street, been gone. He had been in prison for about a year. He sobered up. He's a nice guy. I like him. Sweet guy. But he goes to drinking. He goes to doping. He becomes an animal. And I told him, I said, "We're not going to put up with you bullying nobody around here no more. I'm going to tell you right now, we'll beat you white. We'll beat all the black off of you, man. If you ever do that again, we're not going to allow you to bully people and beat up people on this property and then to slip and escape and get away from us." See, he wouldn't bring that stuff around me. He'd stand across the street and cuss, and I'd go get the baseball bat, and he'd run. So we're not going to deal with that way no more. And so we're not going to allow nobody to be beat up around here or anything. So we're not going to be casting our pearls before swine. And I told him, I said, "If you're going to start any trouble, you start it down the street. Don't start it here. It's not safe for you to start no trouble here." And I'll put truck on him. Truck will handle him for me. Jesus is cautioning his disciples to learn the true value of sacred things and not to misuse or abuse them by giving to those that are incapable of appreciating them. Matthew 7:7, "Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocks it shall be opened unto him." Lord, let us preach the gospel to the whole wide world. Lord, let us win the lottery. There's very little chance of him answering the latter prayer because I'm not going to buy a ticket. Now, there's not even a chance, I can guarantee you, He's going to answer the first prayer, Lord, let us preach the gospel to the whole wide world. We're going to be doing it four times by December or January. We're doing it twice now. We're going to be doing it three times as soon as Radio Madagascar comes on. And the 1st of December, WRNI in Miami is going to be broadcasting us to all the earth. So if there's anybody out there that's tired of seeing their contribution go to Professor Smart's new Cadillac or Professor Twiddly DD's new airplane, why don't you help us put your money just in souls? Not one cent will go to any staff here because we don't have any paid staff. We don't have any overhead. We own the property. We don't have any overhead except lights, water, gas, and telephone. And we feed 3,000 meals a week to the homeless. So this is a real church. And so I encourage you to go to our website, www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com, for thousands and thousands of audio sermons. We even got video on there now, and we've got printed lessons. And y'all pray for Paul Lockman. He's in India. So those of you that are in North Texas, under the sound of my voice, if you'll get in your car and come right now to 4300 Main Street, take the peak exit off of I-30, just past Fair Park. Go about three blocks north on Peak. Come to our barbecue picnic where the East Ridge Church of Christ is helping us with this barbecue picnic this Sunday, right now today. Get in your car and come. We'd love to have you to our barbecue picnic. Ask it to be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. The terms here used with reference to prayer. And these constitute a climax. Ask implies a simple petition. Seek indicates earnest search. I went out and stood on a piece of property last week and said, Lord, if this is the future of Main Street Church of Christ, let it be plain, let it be so easy, let it be so greasy that we fall into it. And if it's not, let Clayton Tuggle call me and tell me that the financing ain't available. And within just a few minutes, I get a phone call. Clayton says, no, everybody wants their money in short-term investments, not long-term. I'm telling you, he'll answer prayer. He'll answer prayer. Knock shows perseverance in spite of hindrance. We're going to persevere in this thing. We're not in any hurry to do nothing. We're going to persevere. We're going to do the right thing. And we might hear from one of y'all some idea. We're wide open to the truth. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. The three represents earnest prayer. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And everyone of the class concerning whom the Savior speaks. The class is those that can say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. That's who he hears prayers from, those who have learned to pray, not the prayer, Our Father, specifically, but like that prayer in Matthew chapter 6, as I explained last week. That's who he's going to hear, those that can say, Thy will be done. Verse 9. Or what man is among you that whom his son will ask bread will give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will give him a serpent or a scorpion? The assurance of an answer to prayer is based on the fact that God is our Father. He treats his children as good and wise earthly parents would. No kind parent would mock his child by answering his cry for bread with stones. Bread and fish were the chief articles of food in a Galilean peasant. Matthew 7:11. If you therefore, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to those that ask them? Men who have natural affection of parents, even though sinful men, will do such things. Whosoever believes that the term Father, as applied to God, is more than a figure of speech, must believe in prayer. good gifts. In Luke's account, it's this prayer, it says, we'll give the Holy Spirit to those that answer him. So apparently God thinks the best thing that he can give us is the Holy Spirit. Verse 12, therefore all things whatsoever you would that men do to you, do you even so unto them, for this is the law and the prophets. The principle forms the basis of God's people should have towards each other, and it's the fundamental principle of the Church of Christ and the kingdom of God. It is an expression of God's wisdom guiding us. It is positive and not negative, as was coined by him and taught in all righteousness. Other teachers had expressed the golden rule in a negative way, but Jesus expressed it clearly in a positive way. Whatsoever do ye also unto them. This does not apply that we are always to do to others as they wish, but what we would like to have done to ourselves if we are placed in their condition and they in ours. We might injure them by complying with their foolish wishes. I got a 16-year-old kid. He wants a brand new Mustang, 4-speed Mustang with the biggest motor in it. I'd have to be crazy to give him a car like that. I'd have to be crazy. And there are a lot of crazy rich parents that give their kids gifts like that and they're dead in no time at all. You understand? You've got to be wise. You got to be wise. I give my grandson a car and my God, it's 20-something years old and it's an old hatchback kind of thing. He can't wreck that thing. He can't get it. If you pedal real fast, it's hard to get over 40 miles an hour. Verse 13, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad's the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. The leading through of the whole discourse of the kingdom of heaven and its conditions. Hence, the Lord says, enter ye in, meaning enter into the kingdom of heaven, enter into the Church of Christ. Nearly every town in Palestine was surrounded by walls and was entered by gates. The principal ones were wide with double doors. They were closed with locks and fastened with iron bars. The straight gates are in retired corners or narrow, and only open to those that knock. Verse 14, because straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. Not a lot of people are going to find the Church of Christ. Most people are going to go find them other kinds of churches. Most people are going to come down to Forward this morning with an honest and pure heart at some other church, and they're going to ask, what must I do to be saved? And they're going to say, oh, well, you got to say the sinner's prayer. Not even found in the Bible. Others are going to say, well, you got to pray your way through it. That ain't even found in the Bible. In fact, everybody tried to do it, couldn't do it. What's found in the Bible is the gospel I'm going to tell you about in just a minute. For straight is the gate. What it is, Augustine asks, that makes its gate so straight to us. It's not that it's straight or narrow in itself, but that we want to take in our pride and our self-will and our daring sins. Boy, I've had some daring sins. I'm telling you, I've been like a motorcycle jockey. My sins are so daring. In fact, the last break I robbed was on a Harley. Few there be that find it. It has to be sought. The reason men do not find it is not because it's hard to find, but because they prefer to walk in the broad way. They prefer to live with their sins. The word faith is often supplied subjectively to one's inner trust with reliance in Christ or in God to save us, or what one believes. It is a synonym for the word belief. But in other contexts, especially where the article is used in the Greek, where the way is used, this is called an article, the Greek word the, or the faith, these terms are used interchangeably. And let's look at them. Where the article is used, Greek tis pistous is used in the objective sense, meaning the whole body of truth, the whole system of religion that is taught, believed, and practiced by New Testament Christians. The pattern of true Christianity is what Jesus is talking about. The faith as a system that superseded and took the place of the Mosaic religious system. We are now taking the place of the Jews who were God's chosen people. The Church of Christ and the kingdom of God is now God's chosen people. We took their place in that. And we're called The faith. We practice the faith. What is the faith? Well, we have the Lord's Supper every Sunday. We sing, we preach, we pray, we give of our money to the poor. We do all the things that are commanded in the fivefold worship of the church, and we live our lives in such a way that it'll be a credit to God and to Christ. Galatians 3:23 begins to use this term, Greek tis pistis, in Galatians 3:23. But before the faith, that should read the faith, not just plain faith. Faith would indicate it was your faith. But before the faith, before the whole New Testament was come, before the New Testament came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto, now they got it right, the translators, the faith. See, the same term is used in both places. They just didn't translate the article, the, in both places. Shut up unto the faith, which should afterward be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by the faith, it should read. Not by faith, but justified by the faith, all of New Testament Christianity. But after that, the faith is come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. But you are all the children of God by the faith. Greek tis pistios is used every time here. By faith in Christ Jesus. For many of you have been baptized into Christ and put on Christ. We do not become the children of God by the law, but by the faith. Tis pistos. It is the faith, because there's only one faith. Ephesians 4:4. There's one body. That word means church. There's just one church, people. You hear me? There's just one church. There's just one Spirit, just one Holy Spirit. That's all. Even as you're called in one hope, we have one hope. The blessed coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, of your calling. One Lord, that's Jesus, that's all. One Lord, one faith, the New Testament, the Church of Christ, making up the New Testament faith, and one baptism. You get baptized one time in life for the remission of your sins. Straight is the gate, wide is the way. We sing a song, there's just one way to the pearly gate, to the crown of life and the souls of way. That old crossroads called the way called straight. There's just one way, the pearly gates. You ever sing that song? Beautiful song. Proverbs 4:18, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more the perfect day. The path, there's just one path. Isaiah 35:8, and a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the way. Not some ways, the way of holiness. For the unclean shall not pass over it. You got to have your sins washed away to be on this highway that's coming. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. This is going to be so simple and easy to understand it. It's going to be like 2 and 2 is 4. And I know 1, 2, 3, 4. I can count them. You can't ever convince me 2 and 2 is 5. A fool won't err in this Church of Christ. Once you've heard the gospel, you're not going to go off somewhere else and believe something different if you've really been converted. The Baptist ain't going to get you if you've really been converted. You ain't going to become a Catholic if you've really been converted. Jeremiah 32:39. And I'll give them one heart, one way. Not a whole bunch of ways, one way. That they may fear me forever, for the good of them and for their children after them. Matthew 7:13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for straight is the gate, broad's the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. What is that gate? John 6:14. Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you believe that gospel, there's no reason for you to be lost. None at all. You can just march right down here and make confession that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You can repent of your sins, confess Christ is Lord, be baptized into Christ, and have all your sins washed away. Won't you come now? If you have sin in your life, you're ready to become a Christian. Won't you come now while we stand and sing?
Amen.
Lost sheep are welcome here, and I'm available to you for counseling. Why don't you give me a call, and let's talk about your soul. You might be thinking I've gone too far and I'm too vile for God to save me. The exact opposite is true. You would honor God by believing that Jesus is who he says he is, the mighty God, powerful and strong to save. He's able to save to the uttermost those who come to God by him. Let me assure you that if God can save me and change me, the greatest of sinners, he can do wonders with you. Call me and let's talk about your soul and the great and sure promises of everlasting life. Call me for personal counseling, for songbooks or tapes at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123.
Before our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. For our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
Thank you. now to prepare our mind for the Lord's Supper. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this bread that represents the body of Christ. We pray that as we do this, it will be in a manner that is suitable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this cup that represents the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to give you thanks for all the many blessings and to return a portion of that back to you. We pray this money can be used wisely as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
For our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.